Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the great artist Caravaggio, one of the greatest Baroque painters the world has ever seen. In fact, he has many beautiful works all throughout the world, most of them concentrated in Rome, or the great basilicas throughout the world. But in one of my favorite basilicas in Rome, I had the very great opportunity of going to the Church of San Agostino, the Church of St. Augustine, where St. Augustine's mother is buried, St. Monica. And when you go there and you walk into that church, you're struck by this beautiful Caravaggio, this beautiful painting. What it really is an image of Mary, the Virgin Mother, carrying her little child, Jesus Christ. And there are two pilgrims, a man and a woman, who are moving toward them in the most beautiful way. You can obviously tell that this man and this woman are very poor. They're wearing very poor clothes, a bit ragged. They are barefoot, basically, and they are carrying their only possession, which is a staff, just a walking stick. That's all they have. And you can see from the very expressions which they have on their faces is that they're in a movement of great petition, a great asking of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of Jesus for a great grace. They're trying to adore, but they're also asking with hands clenched, pleading. And you see, this is a very, very sort of controversial image when it was first unveiled, because what it was supposed to be was not just supposed to be a piece of artwork, but a piece of art that was to go behind the altar, right there, right there. And what's going on in here, which is very curious, is that the Blessed Virgin Mary and Jesus are facing, which means that the two pilgrims, the man and the woman, are facing away from you. So all you can see is their backs. And most glaring is the image of the foot of the man, which is right there, stuck in your face. His dirty, dirty feet, his grimy feet are there right on eye level. And so the people of the time said, "What scandal! What is he doing here, Caravaggio? What an inappropriate gesture to have right there where Holy Mass is being offered, where the Blessed Sacrament of the Mass is given, and the priest looks up and he sees this grotesque foot, this bunioned and nasty-looking foot in his face. How could he do this?" You know what I think? I think these people were completely wrong, and that Caravaggio is the one who understood what it's all about. Because what is it all about? What is it all about? What we see when we see and look at this image is that Jesus came to us precisely for this image which Caravaggio depicted for us. He came to meet us where we're at, to meet us just as we are. The grime of the struggles that we go through, our wounds, our sins, he came to meet us in the very midst of that, to lift us up from that place so we could enter into his kingdom. This, my brothers and sisters, is what Good Friday is all about. Good Friday reminds us that Jesus knows our misery. He's not aloof from it. He's not distant from it, but he brings himself right into it because he shared it in his arduous passion, which he experienced for us today. And so we can confidently, as it says in that first reading of Isaiah, we can confidently approach the throne of grace just as we are. Now, Jesus Christ, he is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is true God and true man. And he's one who's experienced the true depth of human misery. And when we contemplate the passion, we can have no doubt about it, that he was truly God and truly man, that he truly entered into who we are, in the most intimate of ways possible. You see, Isaiah didn't doubt it either. Juan read us that beautiful, great reading, very long reading that so accurately depicts the passion which Christ would suffer. Remember that this was written 500 years before Christ was even born. And yet, it prophesies the way Jesus died to the T. This is what he said in that prophecy. He said, Jesus, speaking of Jesus in the future, he said, "He was spurned and avoided, a man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, one of those from whom people hide their faces. We experienced that, right? Remember when that movie, The Passion of the Christ, came out not so long ago? What did people say? What did the great critiquers of our age say? They said, you can't go see this movie. It's too grotesque. It's too intense. It's definitely not fit for children. In fact, I don't think it's fit for anybody to see. It's just gross. See, in this movie, these people really affirm and fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, saying they can't even look upon the suffering which God did for love of us, so accurately portrayed. We've all felt like that, haven't we? We've felt that some way in our lives because what we live in is a fallen world, a world of sin, a world of distress and darkness. We've all been sick. We've all been betrayed. We've all been hurt. And even sometimes by those we love most, who've turned their backs on us. Those who should have been encouraging us have instead been the ones who've been inflicting the worst wounds. We've experienced that, but we've also known that we ourselves have been that other person and caused pain and untold anguish in the lives of others through our own faults. But these effects of evil and sin, they have reached out and touched every single one of us. It's kind of like when you're going out to the lake to go fishing. And you know, one of the things that you can do, and you see almost every little kid do, which totally ruins the fishing trip, take a pebble, throw it into the middle of the lake, and what happens? The ripples go out until they finally reach the shore. That's what our sins do. And you know what that first one was? That first pebble which was thrown was the pebble of original sin, which was cast in there by our first parents, Adam and Eve. And we are reeling from the effects of that even many thousands of years later, still struggling against this sin. And we participated in it by adding to it our own sins, our own wounds, our own wounding of others. You see what Jesus did? Jesus came down to our level. By stepping into the middle of our pain, in the middle of our suffering, in the midst of our sinfulness and our sorrow. Just as Isaiah said in that reading, it was our infirmities that he bore. It was our sufferings that he endured. These sufferings weren't meant for him. They were meant for us and our sins. But he stepped into them for love of me. He saved us. He saved us not by eliminating our suffering, which he easily could have done, but he actually did was he suffered with us. And he suffered even more for us by teaching us through his own example to trust and to love God even in the midst of suffering. That's how we know that suffering is not worth it, or is worth it, because we can enter into it with Christ, who entered into our suffering with us. It's not worthless. And so when we encounter the crucifixion, especially today, when we encounter it on Good Friday, it begs a question of us. The question is, do we fully realize what this amazing truth reveals to us? You know what it means? It means that we don't have to become perfect. We don't have to become perfect before we approach God, before we enter into his friendship. Because none of us are. None of us would ever reach that point. It means that in Christ, we can go right into the very presence of God just as we are, wearing the same clothes, the vesture, the difficulties, the hardships, the sufferings, the pains that we endure, the sinfulness that we've taken on. We can enter into his presence with those miseries and confusions because he entered into those with us. You know, I'm reminded of a story of a little boy who came up to me after Mass one time. You know, I love when little kids do this. I was a little kid, probably a little bit smaller than Cynthia. And when this little boy came up to me after Mass, he said, "Father, do you know how much Jesus loves you?" And I said, "Oh, he's going to teach me something. I'm not going to answer. I'm going to play dumb because I want to know what he's going to teach me. These little kids teach us all sorts of things." And so I said, "No, I don't know how much God loves me. Young man, tell me." And so he said, "Father, Jesus loves you this much." He loves you this much. And isn't that true? It's cute, but it's very, very true. That's how much he loves us, because Jesus' arms are outstretched upon the cross. And what is he doing? He's waiting to embrace you. That's why his arms are out like that. It's because he's waiting to embrace you. But who is he waiting to embrace? Those who've never sinned? Those who are great saints who are living in great ecstasies and great prayer experiences with God? No. No. He's reaching out to embrace us in the midst of our griminess, just like those feet on that pilgrim in Caravaggio, in the midst of our sins, to save us who call out to him, to save us who cling to the very wood of his cross. We who seek, as the Anima Christi, that soul of Christ prayer says, seek to hide ourselves within his very wounds. It says, intra tu vulnera abscondame, into your wounds, O Lord, hide me. And that's what we want to do here on Good Friday, is to hide within the wounds of Christ. Hide within those wounds of love with which he was wounded for me. You know, the letter of the Hebrews says it well, that second letter that Margarita gave to us. And from Hebrews it says, and this is earth-shattering, put attention, pay attention to what he says here. It changes everything. It can free us from the fear and hesitancy that we have when we have in encountering God and entering into that relationship with him. It says this: so let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. Say that again. God endured all this. He allowed himself to be crucified. Why? He stretched his arms out. Why? So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace and our timely help. That's why we're here, brothers and sisters. That's why we come to Good Friday service. That's why we come to adore the cross, as we'll get to do right after this, to bind ourselves to him, because we are standing here as ones not who are justified, not who are self-righteous, but ones who are in need of a Savior, sinful, in need of God's love, hurt and wounded. We know our sins, and they're before us each and every day, right? We know our need for Jesus, and so we come to cling to his cross, come to adore his cross. But God is not afraid of our griminess. He's not afraid of our imperfection. He's not afraid of our pain. In fact, what he does, he says, I want to enter into your pain, and I want you to enter into my pain, because my pain is for you. That pain that we are experiencing today, he says, let me enter into that. And enter into mine too, because I do it for you, for love of you. So what is that? That pain that we're experiencing, if it's a sin, what our Lord does is he says, I want to forgive that. I want to wash that away. I want to blot it out of existence. And that's why he gave us the great grace of sacramental confession. You know, it's a great grace that's especially going to be offered for us before the Easter Vigil from 10 a.m. until noon. In fact, if you need to hear a confession after that, I will hear it. I will hear confessions until the Easter Vigil at 8:30 at night if you want to keep me there. We need to enter into God's presence. We need to enter into his cleanliness, so that we can receive Jesus at the Easter Vigil worthily. That's what he's given us for. But what if that difficulty, that pain, if that's a hurt that we've experienced in our life from ourselves or from others, what they've done to us, he wants to comfort us with his love, which is poured out between those very arms of the cross that little boy pointed out to me. Because this is how much he loves you. And you know, I'm reminded of a hymn. A hymn that brought me such great encouragement and consolation when I was making my own moment of conversion when I was in my 20s. You know, every time I went to Mass at that time, this song would occur to me. And every time I would hear this song or begin to sing it, I could not help but have tears stream down my face, because it speaks to the reality of how much God loves me, how much he loves us. These are the words. Says, when I survey the wonderful cross on which the Prince of Glory died, My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. I see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here by grace, draw near and bless your name. Today we come to the cross. This same wonderful cross, which our Lord spreads out his arms in love for us. And he gives us that opportunity to come and adore him. And to do so not perfectly, but just as we are today. Praised be Jesus Christ.